The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening. Welcome. So tonight I'd like to continue reflections on thoughts and thinking. The last few weeks we've been exploring working with being mindful of thoughts, in particular looking at thoughts that tend to make a struggle. Thoughts of anger or confusion or hatred or frustration or irritation or all of the variety of thoughts that we think that go along with reactive emotions. But tonight I'd like to explore thinking from another direction, and that is, how can we use thinking skillfully in our practice? The Buddha at one point famously said, whatever we frequently ponder, that becomes the inclination of our minds. If we frequently think about and ponder thoughts of ill will, aversion, cruelty, sense desire, that's where our minds will tend to go more and more. And if we think about, reflect on thoughts of compassion, of kindness, of letting go, our minds tend to move in that direction. And so this is a topic I'd like to explore tonight. How do we actually use thought skillfully? There's so many places in the teachings of the Buddha that he talks about using thought, using reflection, skillful reflection to support us to move in the direction of more happiness in our lives. I think one of the first things we have to explore in this is beginning to recognize the difference between thoughts that just arise and thinking, whether we are engaged in thinking or not. Often when we are engaged in thinking, it tends to hook to our habits, our patterns, our reactivity. Not always, by any means, but it's really useful to begin to notice this distinction between thoughts that simply appear. Thoughts that simply appear can also be motivated by reactivity. I mean, we may just be sitting here minding our own business in meditation, quietly paying attention to the breath, and suddenly a thought arises in our mind about an argument we were having, and then suddenly we start thinking about that. But to recognize the difference between the thought that just arises and then kind of what I sometimes say, jumping on the bandwagon of that thought, that's where we have a little bit of choice in the matter. The thoughts that just arise, we can't stop them from just arising. You know, sitting in meditation, it's not like you sat down and said, I'm going to think about thoughts that are going to make me feel really bad. But sometimes they arise. But when they arise, they have a very seductive power for us, and we tend to think that we need to do something with them, keep thinking about them, try to figure out how to solve the problem that they're presenting in our minds or something like that. And so we tend to jump on those thoughts and reinforce them, which tends to stir up and keep us going in the direction of that reactivity. And so if we can begin to recognize the difference between thoughts that just arise and then kind of the piling on, the thinking about, we can begin to choose to essentially say, do I have to continue going down that path, thinking about those thoughts? So if it's a conscious engagement, if we're consciously engaging with thoughts, we may have some choice to say, maybe I don't want to go there. Maybe instead I want to redirect my thoughts in another direction. So for instance, if you notice your mind connected to thoughts about a person that you're frustrated with, and you've kind of piled on and started thinking about that. But then you recognize, oh, I'm actively thinking about that. I don't need to think about that right now. Sometimes we can just let it go and come back to the breath and just let go of the thinking. But sometimes the mind wants to think. And in that moment, if you instead then redirect the thoughts, consciously think about something more wholesome. Perhaps thinking about, one of the classic examples there of a way to replace those kinds of thoughts is to replace thoughts of frustration or anger with thoughts of kindness. Think about things that you appreciate about that person. Think about things that you've done together that have been joyful. So you can shift your mind a little bit by changing the nature of the thoughts. So this can be done in meditation. It also can be done in daily life, where we begin to recognize this distinction between thoughts that just come up and thoughts that we're jumping on the thoughts and thinking about them. If the thoughts are just coming up, sometimes I find, even when it feels like a thought has a kind of a momentum to it, it feels like you're kind of caught by a particular thought, sometimes those thoughts may also not be something we have control over. And so it can be an interesting check. Can I choose to let go of this thought? Can I actually put this thought down? Sometimes we can't. I've noticed this in my own practice. There were times when I was having a thought storm of some kind or other, and I noticed that I was having this thought storm. And so the noticing thought, I should be able to stop that thought storm. But it was like there were different tracks, It was like this track of noticing had no connection with the thought storm itself. It could notice it, but it had no kind of, it was like they weren't on the same train track. They were separate tracks. And so this thought storm just continued while the noticing happened. And that's okay, actually, if that's going on. If we can be aware that we are thinking while we're thinking, then something different has a possibility of happening. If we can be aware not only of the thought storm, we can also then be aware of something about what's happening around that thought storm, emotions, feelings, other body sensations that can be coming up. And then we are in the present moment with that thought, with those thoughts. But sometimes we can. Sometimes the noticing does have a way to kind of get on that train track and steer it in another direction. Like, okay, don't have to think that thought anymore. I'll take it in another direction. So this is one piece that's helpful to begin to recognize as we explore shifting our thinking, using thought skillfully in our practice. In one of the places in the Buddha's teaching where he talked about using thought and using reflection, he used the word reflection, actually. It's translated as reflection. I'm curious. I actually don't know what the Pali is. I think I should look that up. I don't know what the Pali is that is being translated as reflection. But it's a similar word to what we use for reflection, because he's talking to his son, his 7-year-old son, and he starts out this teaching by saying, "So Rahula was the name of his son, Rahula, what is a mirror used for?" And Rahula says, "For reflection." And so, the word that's being used there is the same word that we use for reflecting ourselves in a mirror. So for reflection. And the Buddha said, just so we should reflect before we take action, while we're taking action, and after we've taken action, to consider whether our action will cause suffering, will cause harm, will cause affliction is the word that's used. And so before we act, reflect, is this action going to cause affliction for ourselves or other, or both? If so, if you make that reflection and you see an action, and the actions here are of body, of speech, or of mind, before we take an action, if it's going to cause harm, then the suggestion is don't do that. So using our power of thought, think about what we're going to do and look at whether it kind of meets this criteria of, is it going to create suffering in the world? Is it going to create any kind of affliction? So this is a very foundational direction that supports us moving away from struggle and suffering and towards freedom. This basic question of, am I engaging in actions that create suffering in the world? If we're engaging in actions that create suffering in the world, we are going to suffer and others are going to suffer. And so those are not the actions that support us in letting go of greed, aversion, delusion, of the tendencies of mind that tend to take us towards suffering. And the Buddha encouraged his son, well, yes, and while you're acting, also do this reflection. You know, if you reflect beforehand and see that no harm is going to come, or you don't see any harm that's going to come, then go ahead and take the action. But don't stop there. While you're acting, check and see, is any harm being caused? Because sometimes we don't know. It's like there's information we don't know. And we can step into something and see, I stepped on somebody's toes there. I didn't intend to do that, but this action is causing harm. And so stopping that action. And then he said, don't stop there. He said, after you've done something, check and see, did it cause harm? And if so, then undertake restraint in the future. And I would add also potentially make amends for that harm. So this teaching about reflecting before we act is using our capacity of mind to almost like model the future, right? This is what it's suggesting, that we think about before we act, we're thinking about what might happen as a result of this action. But the encouragement is to look through this lens of, is it going to create harm? Is it going to create suffering? And he's giving this teaching to his 7-year-old son, so it is a teaching that a 7-year-old can understand. And yet, it's not an easy practice to do, to think about, before every action of body, of speech, or mind, is this going to create suffering? This is a tall order. And yet, before our major actions, before we do something major, we can potentially stop and reflect. Before we do something that engages with another person, we can stop and reflect. Sometimes before we speak, we can recognize, I'm about to speak, and what is about to come out of my mouth. In that pause where we reflect, before we take an action, we can kind of see where our minds are headed. We can kind of see where our actions are headed, our speech is headed. And in that moment, we have the possibility of checking in. Not only is this going to cause suffering, but my motivation here has got a little bit of a spin to it. My motivation here is to be a little snarky when I'm going to say that. Maybe that's not a helpful thing to say. And so a couple things to highlight about this teaching. So it's encouraging us to think. It's encouraging us to use our thoughts in our practice, to use reflection, to use thinking, to learn about our experience, to learn from our experience. And in some ways, I see this kind of teaching where we reflect and look at, is this going to create suffering? Stop. Is this speech going to create suffering? It's a way in which we can start to become our own guide. If we just use a very simple guideline around, is this leading to harm? Is it leading to suffering? we can begin to see what is helpful for us and what is not so helpful for us. Also, I think this, a thing I like to emphasize around this particular teaching is the reviewing side of it. He does encourage us to reflect, to look forward before we act, to reflect while we're acting, but also after we have acted, after we've done something. Did that cause harm? So this is a challenge for some of us, and I think it's a challenge for many of us to acknowledge or to look back at our actions through this lens of, did I do something that created suffering in the world? Did I do something that harmed somebody? It so tends to shade into self-recrimination or self-blame or guilt, this kind of reviewing. And that's not what is being suggested, at least in my understanding, as I've explored this teaching myself, as I've explored for myself, when I've seen myself do something, having done something that was not so skillful. There's so much of the mind that kind of wants to deny that we've done something unskillful. Either we try to tell ourselves, well, it was really okay, nobody knew, or we try to blame the other person sometimes, you know, they deserved it, or so we kind of in thinking about when we've done something wrong, it's like we want to do everything we can to make it okay that we've done that thing wrong. It's like we want to either deny it or to somehow make it be okay. And when I have actually begun looking at that movement of somehow wanting to make it okay for myself, like, you know, it's denying the piece that kind of there's a part of our hearts that wants to in some way own and acknowledge a truth, you know, to acknowledge a truth of what's happened. And so an example from my own practice, I did something a year or so ago that created a lot of suffering. I did not anticipate it was going to create suffering. And yet, within 24 hours of my taking that action, I was aware of a lot, huge levels of suffering that were impacting many, many people. And I saw that my action had directly contributed to that suffering. Now, when I looked at the situation, I could see that I wasn't aware of a lot of information when I took that action. And so essentially, I was stepping into a situation and acting where I had very little knowledge or understanding of the situation. And so it was like I was standing in a pool of gasoline and I dropped a match. That's kind of the way it felt. And so I began this exploration. There was a lot of, you know, a lot of these feelings of, you know, am I to blame? And no, I'm not really to blame. I didn't put that pool of gasoline there, you know. But I did drop that match, you know, so it's just like in the analogy, just recognizing, yeah, I did an action that wasn't so helpful. In another situation, it might have fallen into a pool of water, you know, just to carry that analogy, and it wouldn't have had the consequences that it had. But I did have to own that my action set into motion events that created a lot of suffering. And in exploring it, I found that owning that I had made that mistake created a lot more ease of heart than trying to put up walls and blame other people for having essentially created that pool of gasoline. It made my heart much more relaxed to acknowledge, yeah, actually, that thing that I did, while I was unaware of the situation, you know, as I looked at, as I began to really explore what was going on in my own mind, I could see, well, I didn't intend for there to be suffering as a result of my action. But in talking to a number of people following this and kind of exploring, what did I not know? What did I not understand? I began to see that there are certain ways in which I took an action quickly. It was at the end of a particular period of time where I had a lot to do, and I was kind of like, check, I want to get this one off of my list. And, you know, I didn't stop to really confer with others before taking the action. And so that's something that I feel like I learned from that. And so this reviewing process, this reflecting back, thinking about what did I do, how did I do it, where was there maybe even just a little bit of tension or tightness as I went through that? There was some tension and tightness about just wanting to get this thing done rather than taking some time to explore what other things might need to be taken into account in taking that action. And so I felt like I learned to slow down, especially when other communities are involved, basically. And so I have applied that lesson. So looking at this kind of reflection, it's not about guilt or self-shame or self-recrimination, but more about what can I learn from having made a mistake? What can I learn in going forward? So how might I learn from this rather than just trying to deny that it happened, or rather than trying to separate myself from the events in some way? So it prompts us to look at this review process, especially if we look back and reflect on something that has caused harm. It prompts us to review our intentions, our motivations, and also to just simply look, maybe there's something that we need to learn that there was no possible way that we could have known beforehand, but that we can learn now. Something that, you know, just about the way the world works, that can help us to navigate our lives. There's another story, I'll just tell this briefly, of a young man, David Brower, who when he was 11 years old, I think he may have died by now, but he was a great naturalist. He founded the John Muir Institute. And when he was about 11 years old, he was really interested in nature as a child. And he had this butterfly. He had a butterfly collection. He had these chrysalids that were going to turn into butterflies. And as they started to hatch, he looked at them each day. And one day he saw one of the chrysalids start to crack open. And as he saw it crack open, he watched the butterfly begin to emerge, and he saw a great deal of struggle and strain as the butterfly tried to open that crack, and the abdomen distended, and all this fluid poured out of over the abdomen, and just this really looked very painful to this young boy. And so as the other chrysalid started cracking open, he decided to make himself useful and pry it open a little bit so they didn't have to struggle so hard. His motivation was to alleviate suffering. But what he didn't know was that struggle is necessary for the fluid to pump out so that it spreads over the wings so that the butterflies can fly. What happened as he cracked open those other chrysalids is that the butterflies slid out of the cocoon, of the chrysalid, walked around for a little while, and died. And so he learned in that moment. Actually, what he said is, what seems to be kind and is meant as kind may be the reverse of kind. And so that's something he learned there, that he did not know how butterflies worked, how butterflies hatching worked. I doubt that he ever did that again. So, you know, so to learn from those mistakes, it's not about beating ourselves up for something we don't know in advance, but for learning from what we don't know, learning about what we don't know. So this reflection, this review process can help us to grow. This is how we learn. Then another piece, so this first piece of reflection is kind of reflecting on our actions, how we did things. This piece that I'd like to explore is a kind of a refinement of the review in a way, but it's got broader uses to it. There's a way in which, as we're reviewing, as we're looking back on our actions, on our lives, that we can not only use our thoughts to do that, but also use what I call a reflective meditation. And so this is a way in which we can kind of blend thoughts and meditation, blend thoughts with an awareness of what's happening for us in the moment. We can do this consciously by bringing something to mind and then exploring, how is it in this moment that I have brought this to mind? A couple of weeks ago, I suggested we did a little exercise of just dropping in some words when there was a meditation. You weren't all here, but we sat quietly for a few minutes, and I dropped a few words into the meditation. And people reported a very distinct shift of experience with each of the words, or several people. Many people noticed a distinct shift with the words that were dropped in. And so this is a way that we can begin to explore thoughts in a deeper way. So we can bring a thought into our mind and see, how am I with that thought? So we can use this with modeling the future. So essentially thinking about something that may happen in the future, and how am I with this? We can do it with something that's happened in the past, bringing up a situation in the past, an argument or a frustration, and looking into, how am I? What are the feelings that came up? This tool, which we'll do a little exercise with it in just a moment to give you a sense of how it works, because it's a pretty powerful tool. This tool can help us to navigate our daily lives in ways that, in the midst of our daily lives, often things are happening so quickly that it's hard to land and really be aware, yep, this is how I'm feeling right now. And yet, if we've gone through something and we realize, wow, that got me into some hot water, we can take some time at the end of the day, bring up the situation, and begin to feel into the, as we bring up a scenario in our minds, as we bring up a memory, often what happens is that we begin to feel some of the things that we felt at the time. And so in the moment of consciously reflecting on it in that way, bringing it up consciously, we can begin to get familiar with the feelings that come up rapidly in our everyday activities, and begin to cultivate the skill of being able to be with those feelings, to begin to recognize how to navigate some of those feelings, and maybe even to reflect on how one might do something differently in that situation. So this tool of reflecting and bringing in a kind of a present moment awareness while reflecting on a particular situation can be very powerful. So I'd like to do this with you right now. We'll do a little, it'll be about 10-minute reflection. So we'll start with just A little bit of silence, and so settle in to your body. Taking a few breaths. Relaxing the body. And what I'd like to suggest or invite you to do right now is to call to mind some time that you experienced in the past week or so, during which you experienced some kind of struggle. And just give yourself a minute or so to just pick one time. Just give you a few moments to settle on some event where there was a little bit of struggle. And let yourself call up this event fully in your mind. Let yourself recall some details about where you were, how you were situated, who you were with, if you were with anybody, what you were saying or doing. And any details about other people who might have been present. Just let yourself connect with this situation in your mind fully. And as you do that, connect to how you're feeling right now, the emotions, the moods that you're feeling right now. How is this recollection impacting your present moment experience? Check into your body. What moods, emotions are arising right now? Staying connected to the memory or the recollection and feeling into how it lands for you right now. What's coming up for you right now? As you explore this, see if you can take an interest in this process, or this recollection. It's an opportunity to learn about yourself. See if you can let go of resistance or self-judgment. Keep checking into your body and your mind, how you are here and now. Noticing if as you stay with it and stay with how you are, the moods, the emotions, are any of the moods and emotions changing? Are they getting stronger or weaker? Shifting to a different emotion entirely? You might see if you can identify some aspect of this experience that you can learn from. Your present moment experience might be a guide in this area. At this point now, I'd like to suggest you let go of the image or the remembering of the situation. Stay connected with how you are in the present moment. And begin thinking about or reflecting about how mindfulness might support you in that situation. How might a Dharma perspective support you in that situation? You could reflect on how a perspective of impermanence or compassion or causes and conditions unfolding. Might support you in a situation like that, or kindness for yourself or others. Notice how you are now reflecting in this way also. How does this impact your present moment experience? To reflect on how a Dharma perspective might support you, or how simple mindfulness might support you in a situation like this. And for the last minute or so, reflecting on whether you have any questions that might support exploring a Dharma perspective in the situation. Oh, is anybody willing to share something of what you noticed or explored in that? Or if there's a question that came to you at the end that you'd want to share with the group? Okay.
Well, I was thinking about an incident today where I found myself stuck in a situation where I was baffled and frustrated and simply did not want to do anything about it, just thought, ick, because there's just a lot of murkiness about. And then I reflected on it and thought, well, it may be icky, but there really isn't any way forward, and I don't want to stay stuck. So I guess I will try to move as methodically and carefully as possible. This is something so frightening as a system upgrade. And one never knows what will break.
Yep.
But it's the way forward, and the more, as from the Dharma perspective, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that there wasn't much sense in thinking about the incidentals, that what I should do is make my safety net as broad as possible and be comfortable with that.
Well, the other piece, too, I hear is something about recognizing the ick. There's not much you can do about the ick, in a way, and that stepping forward carefully is a path.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, that's yes. there's some wisdom
to that. I know
there
will be.
Yeah, sometimes there's not much you can do about the consequences, right? I mean,
yes,
with something
not
like
much
that.
Sense in worrying about them before they happen.
Well, there's something about it. So there's truth to that. And yet, the taking care is a way in which, you know, if you just bumble forward without taking care, you're likely to run into more things.
Yes,
and so there is a way that reflecting on it and taking care can create less mess, less ick, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else willing to share something? Yeah. Yeah, move the microphone.
You ain't nothing but a hound. Oh, wait, not karaoke night. I just want to say thank you for sharing tonight's lesson. I think it can be immensely powerful. I've been struggling with a lot of reflection, but it's been in a mindless way where what's being reflected, what's coming back is, you know, there's a trigger, being upset, and not really having much wise mind in between this.
Yes.
So some trigger event, some upset happens, frustration and so forth, and not being skillful in dealing with that and creating a lot of suffering. So if my intention is to have a great relationship with that person or that group because of that unskillful mindlessness, you know, and by reflection, I mean, like, if peeling it back, what's happening, that trigger is a reflection of a past memory or set of memories. And so when something happens to trigger it, there's that feeling, those emotions overwhelm.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the forms may change, the people may change, but that overwhelming emotion that's happened n number of times comes up again. And so I think this exercise in taking an opportunity and using the power of the mind to reflect on an upset and then look at how we can approach that mindfully, skillfully, but not rushing into it, allowing ourselves to feel those uncomfortable feelings. I mean, I had to move because I was so uncomfortable, you know, and I apologize about that. So allowing ourselves to actually feel those feelings and accept them, and then maybe even letting it, you know,
wash through. Yes.
And then saying, okay, what can I do about that?
Yep.
Next time, how can I recognize it? It's almost like becoming familiar with it might help us recognize
exactly.
As it comes on.
Yes.
Oh, I'm starting to feel whatever that, you know, we could probably even name them, right? I'm starting to feel, we can call it anger, but you could have like, you know, I'm starting to feel upset. Let me
be with that.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why I suggest this. I mean, partly, you know, you can take some time when you know you feel pretty, okay, I feel pretty okay right now. Maybe I can let myself bring that to mind and see what I can learn from it. So it's like you're walking into it knowing that you're going to bring your mindfulness to it. And sometimes those things, when those thoughts come up unbidden, Sometimes those emotions can quickly overwhelm us, but when we bring them up more consciously, there's more of an opportunity for us to hang with the emotions and just watch them. And as you say, it really supports us learning how to be with them in our daily lives. Yeah, thank you.
Yesterday about the emotions, and I still have to put it in, yet to put it into practice, but something that was said that sparked interest was almost approaching it in a very simplistic manner. Like, if one has a sense of, you know, like an overriding emotion, it's like to ooh, emotion. You know, just really simple.
Yes.
You know, and then let the wave ride out and then start asking oneself a question, because usually they're so intense, you know what I mean, if we're being upset or triggered.
Yes. It can be hard to name it even, or to do much investigation.
Just
a recognition. This is emotion is happening.
Exactly.
Chaos is happening. Sometimes it can be like that. You know, it's like sometimes when we're overwhelmed, it's so many different things together that we can't even name just one. It's like, okay, this is a big mess. That's what's happening.
And traditionally what I would do is when something like that happens, my mind, the way I work, I try to figure out what's going on. And then then this starts talking.
Right.
Trying to as opposed to saying, ooh, intense emotion,
yes.
Wow, mess, chaos. No, I'm trying to figure out all the different pieces on why I'm trying to feel this way, and then trying to communicate at the same time, and it
yes.
doesn't.
Yeah, so if you can be, keeping it simple is good. Anyone else want to say anything, share anything? I have something else to offer, so we can move on. Thank you. One last piece around using thought skillfully is that we can use wisdom that we've learned. Sometimes one of my teachers, Sayadaw Utejaniya, says we can borrow wisdom. We can borrow understanding that other people have shared. And actually the Buddha suggests doing this consciously. He, in many places in the suttas, he suggests reflecting on the impermanence of experience, reflecting on the unreliability of what's happening, reflecting on how things are uncontrollable. He encourages us to reflect, is this controllable? Can I control this situation? It's like, okay, maybe not. There's a way in which, you know, so much of our suffering is because we are running counter to these basic truths of how experience is. All of our experience is impermanent, it's unreliable, and it often is uncontrollable. And so we are trying to fight that so much. And sometimes if we can just recollect, oh, right, what's happening here is this is not under my control. So bringing that, it's kind of a wisdom reflection in. This is not under my control right now. This is not about denying things. So, you know, this is not under my control, so I should just ignore it. That's not what I'm pointing to here. But again, we're talking about stepping into experience. These wisdom reflections can sometimes help us to just acknowledge, oh, right, part of the struggle here is because I'm fighting something. I'm trying to control something that's unreliable. And so we can bring some of those reflections in. There's some other reflections. So the three basic ones the Buddha suggests, or three of the basic ones are, this is impermanent. This will change. We can use other language for that. This will change. This is unreliable. This is suffering. You know, sometimes actually that one has been so powerful for me. When on one retreat, actually, I was practicing in a new form, a new style of practice, and it was a pure mindfulness practice, and so I was not encouraged to settle the mind in concentration first. I was encouraged to just meet what was happening, and boy, there was a lot of dukkha happening. And for a while, the mind was kind of overwhelmed by that, but at some point, I just began recognizing, oh, this is dukkha. This is suffering. And that simple recognition kind of helped the mind to kind of come into balance around. It's like, oh, right, this is actually, the Buddha said we should understand suffering. Not that we're supposed to avoid suffering, but that when it's arising, we explore understanding it. And so it created a little bit of a container when I consciously recognized, oh, what's happening right now is suffering. It created a container in which my mind got a little more interested in understanding it instead of fighting it. Instead of trying to either fix it or get rid of it or change it or control it in some way, I was like, oh, this is what's happening. And it became much more what you were just suggesting. This is this mess. Can I just know this mess? Can I just be with this? This is suffering. This is this mess. Can I just be with that? And there's a way in which when we come into alignment with that, our minds relax a little bit. So much of our suffering comes not from just what's happening, but from our kind of relationship, our pushing away or wanting to control or fix or change or hold on to, in some fashion, something about our experience. And so these reflections can help us to kind of align with some very fundamental truths about our experience. This is impermanent. This is not controllable. This is not me. This is not mine. This is not who I am. That's another one the Buddha suggested we reflect on a lot. He said we should reflect on our experiences. This is not me. This is not mine. A couple of other reflections I found supportive. Another one that I have used a lot is, this is nature. That's what it's boiled down to. This is nature. What's arising in this moment is a product of what's come before it. It's kind of like if you plant a seed and there's nourishment, moisture, sun for that, it's going to grow. It's like what's arising right now is a result of conditions. It's like this is the tree that's growing right now in my experience. What's arising right now is nature. It's just the unfolding of events. That has also, again, that's pointing to conditionality, cause and effect in our experience. It's like sometimes I phrase it of like with the phrase, of course this is happening. Of course this is happening. And that's not to say that we give in to that, but bringing mindfulness to it. It's like it adds a different dimension. It creates different conditions going forward. And so what's happening right now, what's already happening right now, it's already growing, it's already come to be, it's already here. And yet how we are with that in this moment can radically change what happens going forward. And if we bring wisdom, compassion, kindness, and mindfulness to what's happening, a vastly different picture can unfold. And so some of these reflections, again, using thoughts consciously. I do this a lot in my practice, bringing in these kinds of thoughts. If there's a little bit of struggle in my practice, I can sometimes find one of these reflections. This is impermanent. This will not last forever. That could be helpful. This is suffering. This is uncontrollable. This is nature. These reflections can have a balancing effect on the mind so that we can then open to it with mindfulness. and it's time to stop. So thank you for your attention.